Luke's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 11 of this portion of Scripture. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word, public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. A night of fruitless toil. That's the subject that we have before us here in this portion of Scripture. You know, child of God, the Bible makes it clear, I believe, that you and I are saved to bear fruit for Christ. In John 15, verse 8, when Christ was speaking to his disciples, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And in verse 16 of the same chapter, Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The Christian life ought to be a life of fruit bearing for Christ. In Luke chapter 5, three of the disciples had toiled all night and had caught nothing. They had spent the night in fruitless labor. My, what a frustrating night that must have been for the disciples. Working, laboring, toiling all night, and to have nothing to show when the morning came. You know, child of God, I wonder, have you ever felt like that in your service for Christ? You've toiled all night and have caught nothing. You've sought to labor for the Lord, but your labors have been fruitless. There's nothing more frustrating than toiling for a long time with no results at the end of it. I believe that we all have experienced times like that in our Christian lives and in our service for Christ. But it does not have to be so. Although Peter, James and John had toiled all night and had caught nothing, the next morning their catch was so great that their net broke. Look what it says there in verse 6. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. The night of fruitless toil can turn into the day of great blessing, as far as our fruit bearing for Christ is concerned, child of God. Indeed, the night of laboring with nothing to show for it can turn into the day of great spoil. And I believe that's the message that we have here from this passage of Scripture. For a few moments, this morning, as we come to deal with this passage of Scripture, I want to ask a simple question. How can we as God's people prevent ourselves from being fruitless in our service for Christ? How can we prevent ourselves from toiling all night and catching nothing? How can we bring in the net full of fishes? And I pray that as we come to consider this subject and consider this passage of Scripture, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Now, the message in the main is to God's people. And I do pray that the Lord will come and speak to our hearts, child of God. And I do pray that even in this service today, that we will get a vision for precious souls, a vision for serving the Lord, a vision for bearing fruit for our Master. How can we bring in the net full of fishes? Well, I want you to notice a number of things here very simply. First of all, we need to know the presence and power of God in our lives. If you and I are going to bear fruit for Christ, if we're going to prevent ourselves from toiling all night and catching nothing, then we need the Lord with us. You know, it's interesting when you study this passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 5. It's interesting to notice that the Lord was not with the disciples the night they went fishing. Christ was not in the boat that night when they caught nothing. That night they were laboring and toiling in the energy of the flesh. And that can be seen very clearly here in this portion of God's Word. You know, child of God, if we're going to know God's blessing in our service for Christ, then we need to have the Lord with us. We need to have the presence and power of Christ. You know, the reason why the Apostle Paul was so successful in his service for Christ was because he had God's presence with him at all times. I'm sure, child of God, that you're familiar with the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And surely you know by now that it was a life of great blessing. He was a man who saw many precious souls won for Christ. He planted many churches. And he was a great ambassador for the Lord Jesus. But I'm sure that if you've studied his life in any detail, then you will know that wherever Paul went, no matter what his circumstances were, he always knew the presence and the power of the Lord in his life and in his ministry and in his service. Keep your hand in Luke chapter 5 for a moment and turn over to Acts chapter 18, and you will see this. We read in Acts 18 in verses 9 and 10 these wonderful words. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." My, what a wonderful portion of Scripture that is. The Apostle Paul here enters the city of Corinth. And before he commences his ministry in Corinth, the Lord gives him this wonderful promise that he would be with him. Paul was a man who knew the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord as he sought to serve the Lord. Turn over to chapter 23 of the book of Acts and you'll see this again in verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him. That's the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." You can see there, as Paul continued his journeys, the Lord's presence was with him in a very special way. Turn over again to chapter 27 and you'll see this again. Acts chapter 27, and look with me there at verse 23. Paul said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You can see there, in those three simple references that I've turned you to, that Paul was a man who knew the presence and power of the Lord in his ministry. And that's why he was fruitful. That's why he saw many precious souls won to Christ. And child of God, you and I, if we're going to be successful in our service for Christ, and if we're going to bear fruit for the Master, then we need the presence and the power of the Lord with us every step of the way. I wonder, child of God, as you're laboring and toiling and you're catching nothing perhaps, maybe it's because you're not knowing the presence and power of the Lord day by day in your own life personally. Maybe it's because you are in the boat and Christ is on the shore, just as it was in Luke chapter 5. Maybe it's because you're serving God in the energy of the flesh, as the disciples were in Luke chapter 5. Might can it be done? We cannot be successful fruit bearers without the presence of the Lord with us. You know, you will notice that when the disciples caught this great draught of fishes, that Christ was with them in the boat. Did you notice that as you read down the passage of Scripture? Take a look again at chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he, listen to that, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. There we have in verse 3, Christ entering into the ship for the first time and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, now he's still in the ship here, the Lord's still in the ship, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. You see there that when they took this great draught of fishes, that the Lord Jesus was in the ship. But the night before, the Lord was not with the disciples. Oh, child of God, if we're going to be fruit bearers for Christ, if we're going to be successful in our service for the Lord, then we need the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord with us day by day. And of course, if we're going to know the power of Christ in our lives, then we need to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I wonder, is there someone here today, and you're saved, but you know little of fruit bearing for the Lord? Is it because you know nothing of the power of Christ in your life? If there's a day and age when the Church of Jesus Christ needs the power of the Holy Spirit, then it is in this day in which we live. Oh, I pray that we will cry unto the Lord afresh for a fresh infilling of His Holy Spirit. But you'll notice something else here. Why don't you take a look there at verse 4. And you'll notice, secondly, not only do we need to know the presence and power of the Lord if we're going to bear fruit for Christ, but you'll notice, secondly, we need to heed God's command. Now, in this verse 4, the Lord Jesus gives Simon Peter a twofold command. Look what it says in verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, that was Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. First of all, Christ commanded Peter to launch out into the deep. That was the first part of the command. But then you'll notice that the second part of the command, Christ commanded Peter to let down the nets. It says at the latter part of verse 4, let down your nets, plural. Now, Peter obeyed the command of Christ partially here. He launched out into the deep, but he only let down one net. Now, I'm sure that you have read this portion of Scriptures many times, but did you ever notice that? The Lord Jesus commanded Peter to let down the nets, plural. But Peter only let down the net. He only let down one net. Why did Peter do that? Why did he let down only one net when Christ commanded him to let down the nets? Well, I believe he only let down one net because he was not fully persuaded that he was going to catch any fish. Therefore, he obeyed the command of Christ reluctantly. Peter's attitude was, well, Lord, we have toiled all the night and we have caught nothing. But Lord, although we have caught nothing, just to please you, Lord, I let down one net. Peter that day could have caught more fish than he did. That day Peter only filled one net with fishes when he could have filled at least two nets. Is it any wonder after the disciples brought in the great haul of fishes that Peter went to Christ and falling down before him said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. You know why Peter said that? Because he disobeyed the command of Christ. He only partially obeyed the command of the Lord. You know, child of God, if we are going to be fruitful in our service for Christ, we need to heed the command of the Lord. And if we're going to experience God's full potential of blessing in our service for God, then we must obey the command of God in every detail. In other words, not only must we launch out into the deep, but we must let down the nets. So often we are like Peter, we let down the net. Letting down the net is obeying Christ reluctantly. But letting down the nets is obeying Christ believingly. Oh, I wonder, as we seek to live for the Lord in our own Christian lives day by day, as we seek to serve the Lord, and I do pray that each and every one of us who are saved seek to serve the Lord day by day, do we let down the net reluctantly? Is that why we're not fishers of men? Is that why we're not seeing souls saved in this day and age in which we live? Is that why our lives are not bearing much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, surely, child of God, there is a message here, a very simple but a very clear message for each and every one of us. Oh, not only do we need the presence and power of the Lord with us, not only do we need to know the presence of Christ in the boat, but we need to obey the command of the Lord. And unlike Peter, we need to let down the nets. The more we sow, the more we reap. If we sow sparingly, then we'll reap sparingly. Oh, I pray that our lives in these days are telling for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Lord will come, and in these days that he will move amongst us afresh and send us a breath of revival. But you know, you'll notice something else here in this passage of Scripture. Maybe you've noticed it already. You'll notice, thirdly, that if we want to be fruit bearers for Christ, then we need to learn to work with God's people. You know, it is interesting to note here in Luke chapter 5 that although Peter had only one net full of fishes to deal with, he still needed the help of others to bring the fish to shore. Take a look at verses 6 and 7 there. You'll read these words. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now look at verse 7, underline it. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. You know, child of God, we cannot serve God successfully without the help of others. This principle is clearly taught in the Bible. The disciples were sent out two by two. Throughout Paul's epistles,
He refers to his fellow helpers in the work. Paul said on another occasion, we are workers together with God. And even the great Apostle Paul recognized and realized that if he was going to be successful in the work of God, that he needed the help of others. And you know, every member of the body of Christ is needed. Indeed, it is only when every member of the body of Christ is doing his work faithfully that the church will know the full blessing of the Lord. This is brought out wonderfully over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes the church as a body. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 12, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Underline that verse. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. You see there how Paul is describing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And you can see there how every member of the church is needed. We all can't be preachers. We all can't be missionaries. We all can't be evangelists. We all can't be children's workers. But what Paul is telling us here is this, that we all have a part to play in the church of Jesus Christ. And you know, there are those, and all they do, and I say that reluctantly, all they do come to the prayer meeting and pray, my, what a work that is for the Lord. What an important task that is. Child of God, you might feel that you can't preach. You might feel that you can't speak publicly. You might feel that there's so much that you cannot do. But I'll tell you something that you can do. Every one of God's people can do it. They can pray. And that's why it is so important to come to the prayer meeting and to seek the face of the Lord and to pray for the work of God. Now, I don't know how many comes to the prayer meeting in Coleraine, for I've never been at your prayer meeting. But I could hazard a guess that there are many of God's people who neglect the place of prayer. If there is a day and age when God's people need to be playing their part in the body of Christ, then it is this day and age in which we live. And child of God, if you feel you can do nothing, let me tell you, you can do something, because you can pray and seek the face of God. We need prayer warriors in the church of Jesus Christ today. Simon Peter couldn't do it all himself. And that's the truth, the lesson here that's brought out in Luke chapter 5. He needed help. He needed help. And they beckoned unto their partners, verse 7, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. The truth is, the session needs help. The committee needs help. The Sunday school teachers need help. The children's workers need help. My friend, those who go forth preaching the gospel need help. And they need the help of the rest of God's people who will take the time and use up the energy to pray for them. If we want to be successful fruit bearers for Christ, then we need the help of others. We need to launch out together. We need to let down the nets together. We need to bring in the fish together. And that's one of the simple yet wonderful lessons that is brought out here in this passage for Christ. And it ought to challenge us, and it ought to challenge you. And the challenge is this: are you being faithful in the place where God has put you? God has called you to this church. Are you doing everything within your power to make sure that those nets are being brought in, that those fish are being caught? You know, it's not just the job of the preacher, and it's not just the job of the session, and it's not just the job of the committee. Everyone has a part to play. And that portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 indicates that clearly. The child of God is a portion of Scripture that you ought to study very, very carefully indeed. How do we bear fruit for Christ? Well, we need the presence and the power of the Lord. And we need to heed the command of Christ to let down the nets. And we need to believe that the Lord will answer prayer. And we need to work together. We need the Lord to come and teach us more clearly in these days what we are to do in the service and work of Christ. And then you'll notice something else here. Take a look at Luke's Gospel chapter 5 again. And you will see that fourthly, we need to yield completely to God's will. You know, from that day forward, Peter, James and John, the Bible tells us here, forsook all and completely yielded to the will of God for their lives. Take a look at verse 10 and 11. And you'll read these words. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they, not just Simon, but James and John as well, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Isn't that a wonderful little text there in verse 11? They forsook all and followed him. You know, child of God, we will only be successful fishermen if we yield our lives completely to Christ. Now, that does not mean that we all must go into full-time service. Though if the Lord is calling you and speaking to you, young person, and if the Lord wants you into full-time service, then yield your life to him and let him take your life and use it in that capacity. But yielding your life completely to Christ does not mean automatically that you'll go into full-time service. Yielding your life completely to Christ means making your life available for God to use you in whatever way he wants. Being willing to be used in God's service. Oh, I wonder, child of God, are you willing to be used in God's service? Thank God today the Lord wants to take your life and he wants to use it, and he wants to use it in this house, and he wants you to bear fruit for him. You know, there's no knowing what God will do with a life completely yielded to him. You know, that's how D.L. Moody was called in to the Lord's work. He was sitting listening to a preacher on one occasion. The preacher said this: there's no knowing what the Lord will do with a life completely yielded to Christ. And D.L. Moody was sitting in the congregation that day, and the Lord spoke to him. And Moody says, by God's grace, I'll be that man. I'll yield my life completely to the Lord. And you know, friend, he did. And it is said that Moody, he lifted America up in one hand and he lifted Britain up in the other hand and he lifted them up to God. And thousands of precious souls were saved and swept into the kingdom of God. And young man, young woman, even older person, there's no knowing what God will do with your life if you completely yield your life to the Lord. Do you feel barren today? I believe that in all of our lives we have been to that place where we have felt barren. We have toiled all the night. We have caught nothing. There's no doubt we're living in an age when the tide is out, when few people are getting saved. We're toiling all the night and we're catching nothing. Why? Because we're toiling in the energy of the flesh. Oh, how we need a word from the Master. Launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a draught. I wonder, will we this day, child of God, yield our lives afresh to Him? We were singing that lovely hymn, "We have only one life, but it'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last." And you know, friend, that's true. Our lives upon this earth are very, very short. I wonder how we will meet Christ. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to my own heart. It's a challenge to every child of God. But one thing I know is true is this, that if you and I were to yield our lives afresh today to Him, then He would take them up and He would use them. We need the presence of the Lord with us. We need the power of Christ in our lives. We need to obey His word, and we need the help of others, and we need day by day in our Christian experience to completely yield our lives over to the Lord. You know, there's a text of Scripture I'm going to turn you to and leave you with it. It's John chapter 9 and the verse 4. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Savior says. The Lord Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And He says in this portion of Scripture, "I must work. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." What a challenge that is. You know, when we're young, we never think of death and we never think of our lives ending. Isn't that right? And you know, the truth is, the older we become, we don't like to think about our death. We never like to think about our lives ending upon this earth. But someday it will happen. Someday our service for Christ will be over. Oh, child of God, the Lord has placed you here. The Lord has called you here. The Lord wants you to serve Him here. Make sure you do it with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What potential there is here today in the service of Christ. Have you toiled all the night? Are you catching nothing? Well, then learn the lessons here. Learn how you can be a fruit bearer for Christ. Learn how your life can be changed for the Lord. Seek Him, and He'll bless you. Young person, give your life to the Lord. Give your life over to Him who has died and shed His precious blood to redeem you. When we think of what the Savior has done for us in dying upon the cross, shedding His precious blood for our sins, He gave His all for us. Surely all we can do is give our all to Him, what we have. Maybe there's someone here today and you're backslidden. You once walked well with the Lord, but today you're found in bypath meadows. And certainly you have been toiling all the night and catching nothing. Come back to the Lord. Give your life afresh to the Lord. And He will take it up again and use it. May God bless His word. Let us all pray.